Good evening, Lehigh Valley. Welcome to Lehigh Valley Discourse. This is Sally Hanlon, your host this evening, and we've got a wonderful, very timely program for you this evening. Before I introduce my guests and state who they are, let me just give you a little bit about the topic. And when I started to do the research, I was like all over the place because we're talking about economic development, community development, redevelopment, everything that has been happening in Allentown the last few years. And what I equate Allentown to, and I don't know if anybody will agree with me or not, but I call it sort of the urban phoenix because it's been raised from a fairly nondescript post-industrial city and has become a nationally recognized urban revitalization effort. And tonight I have two of the people with me that are a part of that happening, both in the planning and now as it goes into a transition and goes beyond the initial sort of NIS geographical area, but into the community outside, immediately outside. So if you haven't guessed, my guests tonight are Jim Harbour, who's the Vice President of Sales and Leasing at City Center, and Don Bernhard, who recently became the Community Development Director at Downtown Allentown Community Development Initiative. Lot of title
long
there, Don.
Long title.
It is. I wanted to do an acronym, but then I got myself confused, so I figure we have enough of those around the valley. Before we start talking about what's been happening in Allentown, what's going to be happening in Allentown, I would like to have both Jim and Don give a little bit of a brief bio on their background, what they're doing now, how they got there, et cetera. So I'm going to start first with Jim Harbour from City Center. Welcome, Jim.
Thank you, Sally.
Can you just share with our listeners a little bit about your background, what you're doing at City Center these days?
Sure. I came to City Center in October of 2011. I left a position at Bristol-Myers Squibb where I was involved in their international real estate division. But I've been in the Valley, in and around the Valley, since 1975 when I was a Bethlehem Steel employee in the real estate finance groups there. So I've been around for a while. I think what has happened to me and to City Center in the last 4 years has been some of the most exciting and rewarding work I've ever done.
And it's been happening quickly, and we'll talk about that as we get in a little bit more into tonight's program. Don, you have been involved in the Lehigh Valley in multiple ways, both nonprofit and with PPL, and now you're doing this. Why don't you share a little bit of that background?
Well, I've worked in downtown Allentown for 40 years and worked on things related to making downtown Allentown a better place for all of those 40 years. First with the city of Allentown, I was there for 20 years, and for 16 of those years, I was the city's community development director. So I was directly responsible for the public end of both community and economic development. And then for the 20 years after that, I was director of community affairs at PPL, where I managed their local community relations and managed their corporate philanthropy. So for all those years when I was in charge of giving money away, I had a lot of friends.
Yeah.
And now I'm managing what is a private sector CEO's group. It now has 15 members, and it's the CEOs of the largest employers downtown and the three large foundations downtown. And their express purpose is to make sure that the prosperity that's happening within the Central Business District carries over into the neighborhoods.
Okay, so we were talking before the show. Why is it important that these CEOs get involved in this? I mean, philanthropy is something you're very familiar with, but this goes beyond that, correct?
Yeah, some of it's philanthropic. I mean, certainly the companies involved do things just for the sake of doing good deeds, but this is beyond that. There's a lot of involvement because it's in their collective self-interest. These companies, well, I'll talk about PPL, where I was for many years. That company literally lives in downtown Allentown. It's in their vested self-interest to have it be a better place and to have the neighborhoods around it be a better place.
And they made that commitment a while ago because several years ago they were talking about moving out to South Whitehall, or there was sort of that scuttlebutt going on, but they specifically said, we're staying.
That was, you know, prior to the NIS, that was one of the real turning points for downtown Allentown. I mean, it's hard to imagine what Allentown's downtown would have been like 7, 8, 9 years ago if PPL had left. And that could have happened. I actually had a fight a battle with a previous mayor for PPL to get control of the site. So that was sort of a first big commitment that showed that downtown can be a successful, prosperous office location.
It can be the place it once was, or better than the place it once was.
Yeah, sort of a different place in terms of what the exact economic focus is, different types of employment, but that it can come back.
Yeah. Well, I like you, I think, and I hate to admit it's been 40 years, but participated in Allentown back almost 40 years ago and saw what it was and then saw it go down. And now I'm just so excited about what Jim is going to share, which is what's been happening since December 2013, Jim, when you were last on Lehigh Valley Discourse with me. It was just things were projected. You know, we were going to open the arena in September. We were going to, and wow, we did. You did.
We're very proud of the fact that everything we've been talking about for 4 years has come true. And it's been a lot of hard work and a lot of people all pulling the oars in the same direction. It's not all City Center. But at the last conversation we had here, there were a lot of cranes up in Allentown.
Yep.
Since then, in April of 2014, two City Center opened. People identify that as the Nat Penn Building. It's the corner of 7th and Hamilton. And it is now a full office building. Bucknell Lisicki Air Products, the Dorothy Ryder Pool Trust, Dugan and Mark on Baker Engineering, Dunn Manning, Cross America Partners. It's a full office building, and the retail is full as well. One City Center, which is the Lehigh Valley Health Network, opened. It's a two-story fitness center, and its executive offices are there. And we would not be talking about our success if it weren't for folks like Nat Penn Bank and Lehigh Valley Health Network, who took an early step into the revitalization of the city. Move on to July of 2014, the Hamilton Restaurant opened. Shortly thereafter, the Roar Social House opened, two great and successful restaurants. And then in September, the city took its first real deep breath when the PPL Arena opened, the PPL Center, and the Eagles concert happened. Thousands of people downtown. Our three City Center office is now filling. In April, Norris McLaughlin Marcus moved in.
Where's that one, Jim?
That's in the site of the old Colonial Theater, 515
okay,
Hamilton.
Right. Okay.
So a little bit east of Center Square. Morgan Stanley just announced that they're going to be occupying the seventh floor of that building early next year. Ritu Engineering and Velispan Technologies are tenants there. Something that we were waiting for has happened as 2015 has blossomed. The retail and restaurant space has really had a very strong demand. Our retail space is basically full.
Nice.
And open, or will be opening very soon as we go through the fall. Shula's, Sage, 7th and Soul, the Greenmouth Cafe, Starbucks, of course. Everybody loves Starbucks. Ruby's Floral, Minuteman, Sorelli, the Moravian Bookshop is opening up their second location there. Some new restaurants, Grain, Tony Luke's, Center Ice. A lot of companies have said, wait a minute, all these people are downtown. We should open retail there. And so that's been exciting. The residential piece is really the last thing. We've begun to occupy the Strata Flats. There's 121 leases signed, and 62 apartments are already occupied.
I saw things on balconies and, you know, curtains and windows. It was so exciting to see that.
Well, we've talked about live, work, and play. And so the work component was there, the play component in our restaurants and in the PPL Center. But the residential component of getting people to live downtown and participate 18 or 20 hours a day, for those that don't need much sleep, is a really critical piece of what's going on.
Yeah, it is.
And with that success, we've also announced another residential project that'll be part of our Five City Center Innovation Tower project that will be delivered in a couple of years. It's we need to plan it and build it, which takes some time, but it's an exciting development which really takes what we're doing to another level, to the next step.
And I would imagine you've been getting inquiries from all over the U.S. I don't know about all over the world, but just about how you've been making this happen.
Well, the Lehigh Valley and Allentown in particular, from a Class A headquarters office perspective, was never quite the bright light that we have been for industrial and distribution. But we are getting the inquiries from the major brokerage companies who have tenants looking in the Northeast who are now considering Allentown. And that's a very exciting piece of this when we're starting to get the looks that that other great urban areas have gotten historically.
Yeah, that we've always sort of felt that we were the second cousin of. Now, Don, you have been involved in this whole aspect from when you were at, well, the city and PPL, but very actively involved in the economic development. You were instrumental in making a lot of this happen. Give us your thoughts and observations.
Well, one quick thing just to directly build on what Jim just said, that the whole live, work, play, the residential part of it, the round the clock downtown, just the whole buzz of that. I think that's really important because I think there's more and more credence to the economic development theory that jobs are going to follow smart young people to the places that they want to live, and the places they want to live are real communities, genuine communities, not faux downtowns, not suburbs, disconnected places, but real genuine communities where they can walk to things, they still have access to urban recreation things, but that there's just an excitement both where they live, where they work, entertainment, and I think that builds on itself. I've seen some peaks and valleys before of success downtown that got to a certain point and then tailored off, and I think I knew the NIS was going to produce a much higher peak, but it's exceeded my wildest expectations. It's an incredible tool that's made fantastic things happen with clearly more to come.
Yeah, absolutely. I just am so excited about what's going on. And it's not just the NIS area. The waterfront area is announcing some things I've seen in the paper that they're going to be developing, and the brewery. So, you know, are there other things, Don, that you're aware of that are sort of hooking onto this train as it moves through the valley?
Well, I'm on AEDC's board and Allentown Economic Development Corporation's board and have been for 35 years, and so I know they're still, you know, in the midst of some new deals. Yeah, I absolutely think the waterfront project will be a success too. I mean, if you look at other cities around the country, water assets are very appealing, and they're a limited resource. They don't exist everywhere.
Well, and especially ones that haven't already been built up or ruined. I mean, when I went to the Riverwalk in San Antonio, Texas years ago, I kept thinking this could be, you know, along the Lehigh. It could be in Allentown, it could be in Bethlehem, it could be in Easton type of thing.
Yeah, and it's a lot of work. I mean, Allentown, like a lot of places through the industrial age, the city really literally turned its back onto the river, and not that that's unusual, but access was blocked to the, a lot of people, you know, barely recognized there was a river there.
Right.
But, you know, that's starting to change slowly but surely, you know, building walkways along the river. I was one of the founding board members of the Delaware Lehigh Heritage Canal Corridor Commission. In fact, I was chairman of that board for 15 years.
It was a long time. I remember you doing
Yeah, that's a long story in itself. But, you know, that's a regional asset that passes through Allentown. It's a 150-mile-long trail that used to be the canal towpath. Mm-hmm. And it's taken a lot of work to put that in place, but more and more communities are recognizing the asset they have and receiving an economic benefit from it, tourism benefits, you know, just sort of making something out of their own economic history and the just very pleasant physical asset they have.
Well, yeah, and what makes your area unique, what, you know, has some of its personality tied into the area is extremely important. You were sharing that there's been some projects, and I know, you know, listeners, Don has been involved in economic development efforts throughout the country on various boards. He was on LVEDC's board. He was the chair of that. He's done things regarding through PPL and other state things. What other projects have you seen that sort of come together the way that Allentown is coming together? So it's like our, maybe it's our benchmark to look at, or things other areas have done.
Well, as my group, DACDI, the Downtown Allentown Community Development Initiative, D-A-C-D-I.
Okay, so how do you pronounce that?
DACDI.
DACDI. Okay, it's a new one, guys.
It does need an acronym. It's too long. You know, we spent a little bit of time looking at other cities that had a similar circumstance where you had some large private sector partners who were concerned about their environment. And probably the clearest example I can give is University of Pennsylvania, where 20 years ago they were in a situation that they were literally losing customers because of the state of their neighborhood, that students and parents loved the university, hated the place. And they said, and not for a philanthropic reason, but for a bottom line interest that, well, we have to do something about that. And they've put housing programs in place to actually subsidize their employees to buy houses in the neighborhood. And as a companion to that, just to show the importance of taking comprehensive approaches to solving these problems, I think the most successful thing they did was build and staff an elementary school that moved them from the circumstance that young parents left the neighborhood when they had school-aged children to a circumstance now that people are lining up to buy houses there to make their children eligible to go to school there. So it takes that multifaceted approach.
It does. And although we've had a lot happen in 4 years here in Allentown, 20 years is really not that long to have that kind of a dramatic impact on an area economically.
Yeah, especially if you're going to tackle tasks like changing the education system. And there are things, and maybe we can find a minute to talk about those sometime tonight, too. But changing the course of an entire school district is no small thing and doesn't happen in a year or two.
No, not at all. Not at all. When I was researching some information for the show, because I was trying to get my understanding of what is community development, what is economic development, what is redevelopment, you know, all these things that sort of come together, I found this quote, which I thought was really perfect for some of the comments that I've heard over the past year or so. It's by Marcel Proust, and it's, "The real voyage of discovery consists not of seeking new landscapes, but in having new eyes." And the reason that sort of spoke to me is I think there's a couple challenges, and Jim, you might be able to address this first, but one of the challenges or one of the concerns that comes up is, okay, we've got the NIS. Are we going to be like Atlantic City? Are we going to have sort of where you fall off after you get out of the NIS boundaries? And the other thing is, which really, and listeners, if you're in this boat, please be an open-minded tonight as you're listening, but sometimes our Native folks are an enemy to the process, because this is changing. This is changing the view. They're not comfortable with that, and they're, oh, it's not going to work because, you know, this is the way Allentown was, or this is the way the Lehigh Valley is. And, you know, what we believe will happen. And I'm just, you know, so impressed with what's going on in Allentown that these naysayers just drive me crazy. So I'm sure you feel some of that.
Early on in our work in Allentown, I think the perceptions were much more deep-seated than they are now. And as we've gone through our conversations and our physical development and our physical change, we've also seen a philosophical change. People who had not been downtown in 25 years are now coming downtown weekly to the restaurants.
Great.
They're wearing Phantoms jerseys to the grocery store on Saturday. This is all a great change. And what I think we recognized early on is that building another building isn't the answer. It's part of the answer. And so having been successful thus far, we've built a foundation on which to build, go from economic development to community development, which we think creates the sustainable change that cities need.
Okay, and on that note, better stay tuned so you can hear the other half of this. We're going to have a short break, and you'll be back with me, and we're talking to Jim Harborough and Don Bernhardt regarding Center City, Allentown, and what's happening at DACDI. Sorry.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, call 610-694-8100, extension 6, or visit our website, wdiy.org.
Celtic Fair, a celebration of Celtic music and culture, from its roots in Ireland, Scotland, Wales, Galicia, and Brittany, to its branches in Australia, Cape Breton, Canada, Chicago, New York, Philadelphia, and the Lehigh Valley. Bringing you music, interviews, and a weekly culture calendar every Thursday from 7 to 9 on WDIY Allentown listener-supported community public radio.
Back. This is Sally Hanlon, your host this evening on Lehigh Valley Discourse, and with me in the studio tonight is Jim Harbaugh, who is Vice President of Sales and Leasing for City Center, and Don Bernhardt, who is Director of Community Development for Downtown Allentown Community Development Initiative, DACNY, the new abbreviation. When we took our break, we were talking about sort of perceptions and people who perhaps thought that Allentown couldn't come back, and now they're seeing it come back, and people who had perceptions about, you know, is this going to be an oasis? And that's where DACNY comes in. Is that correct, Don?
Yeah, that's pretty much expressly our mission, to make sure that the prosperity from the Central Business District does carry out into the neighborhoods. And it's the community development work to build on top of the economic development success. And it's a, it's different work, it's different strategies. It's a lot about engaging people in the neighborhood, building consensus and collaborative efforts to make sure that the people who have some resources and are in the business of helping the neighborhoods are working together to make it
happen.
Most effective as it can be.
Now, this DACNY is the CEOs of the 15 companies, but there are already a number of organizations that are doing things, including the Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber, the Allentown District, the 7th Street Corridor, all that kind of stuff. Do you interface with them? How does this work?
A lot. There's a lot of coordinating mechanisms that people meet on a regular basis. Certainly the city's a key part of that. The public resources they bring are critical. And in fact, a lot of the people that need to coordinate have lined up behind the city's plan for downtown Allentown. And said, those are the metrics. These are the things we're going to measure our success by. And, you know, we're not each going to be implementing a different plan. We're going to work together. We're going to meet regularly. And the Neighborhood Partnership Program, which is in part just a funding mechanism, it's a state tax credit program that is, in fact, allowing companies to provide a lot of money to neighborhood revitalization. But it's also a program that's driven by what the people living in the neighborhood want. So, you know, that the committee that runs that, and I'm co-chair of that steering committee, brings a lot of people together to make sure they're talking to each other and coordinating what they're doing.
How do you do that in this day and age? Because it seems to me in a lot of communities that people are very disconnected from their community. You can't get volunteers to get on board. You can't do... Why is that different here? Are you seeing a lot of interest? Are people sort of lining up to be a part of this?
We are. It's a large committee, and a lot of people have, you know, frankly, come to us and wanted to be involved. So, you know, it took some work, but there's just a lot of excitement about what's going on, and that sure helps that people want to be part of it.
Yeah, I think, and you mentioned it early on, Jim, when people started seeing all those cranes, the new birds of downtown Allentown, then they knew it was actually going to happen. And so I think that probably helped to start some of the excitement.
Well, when people see progress, they must believe it.
Yeah.
And it's been hard to deny what's happened down there. We're not going to win over everybody's heart and soul, but it's hard to deny that there have been significant physical and philosophical changes to what's happening in downtown Allentown, as well as in the rest of the Lehigh Valley, which mm-hmm. is, you know, doing wonderfully.
Yeah, we've been very fortunate that we've have sort of skimmed some of the recession. We did not that we didn't have it, but we haven't been pulled down the drain like some of the other communities in the industrial quarters.
And it also helps that involved in this process are organizations that specialize in grassroots approaches to things. Community Action Council, Lehigh Valley, which is mm-hmm. actually running the Neighborhood Partnership Program, and Promise Neighborhood, whose board I'm on. But, you know, I know enough to know that I don't have a thorough understanding of what the needs of a neighborhood are. I'm not a resident. I'm a resident of the city, but not of that particular neighborhood. And we need some help from people like that who are really out there and talking to the residents every day and developing a deeper understanding of what their needs and priorities are.
Are there any things, any needs or priorities that come to mind just sort of quickly that you've seen surface in this process?
Education is clearly one of them. And some past efforts, I think, have been lacking on that front, focused too much on physical things. And we're doing that. There's a lot of money going into housing rehabilitation and facade improvements. But if you don't address the educational system, and there's just two things I'd highlight there in particular. One is Building 21, the new high school in Allentown.
And where's that going to be located?
It is going to be at 6th and Union.
Okay, so it's right downtown.
In an old bank call center, so it is right downtown.
Oh, so it's the old First National call center.
It is. Okay. Yeah, and they, it's open to any student in Allentown. There's no selection criteria. Anybody who lived in the district and completed eighth grade could apply to be in this school, and they had 500 applicants for 150 slots for their first year.
Wow.
They are phenomenally good. They have an education approach that they've implemented in Philadelphia that's been very successful in its first year there. Every reason to believe it will be here. And also every reason to believe that the success we know they're going to have will drive some new and different and I'm sure more successful approaches into other schools in Allentown. So I think that's really important, and there are a lot of people been involved with that, both business community and neighborhood residents. And then also I'm a huge believer in high-quality early childhood education, and while we have entities here like Community Services for Children, Lehigh Valley Child Care, who do a great job, they don't have enough resources to offer that to every child, and I think we need to do that, and we're working on that. We're working, this could be the subject of a whole other show, but a mechanism called Pay for Success that attracts private investment to pay for a public good like early childhood education. And then because that saves money in different ways years down the road,
absolutely,
like it causes fewer children to be in special education once they get to K-12, some of that saved money repays the initial investors. So we're like on the leading edge of trying to make that happen here.
It was interesting. I had Promise Neighborhoods on the show maybe about a year and a half ago, and I was oblivious to the fact that if all children don't have access to daycare at a pre-kindergarten level, that the kids that don't have that start behind the eight ball, and it just sort of snowballs as far as their ability to try and catch up with the rest of the class.
They do, and we have one of the 10 best Head Start programs in the United States here in the Lehigh Valley. And yeah, they were just recently named that. And the statistics are compelling. They not only get the children caught up to where they're supposed to be, in some cases they're actually ahead, that they're actually a little bit bored when they enter kindergarten because Head Start has moved them ahead of a lot of other kids. So that's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
But there's still less than 30% of children in Center City are getting that high-quality early childhood. So it's going to take a lot of money to address that problem.
Now, Jim, you had said that 60 units have already in the strata have been occupied or are being occupied. 100 and some have already been leased.
Yes.
Who are those people? Are they the young working couple? Are they the retired? Are they with children? Or who is coming there right now?
I think the profile is mixed, but primarily young professionals.
Okay.
Some roommates in a two-bedroom apartment. Some couples. We have some boomers who are selling their big houses in the suburbs and coming downtown because they enjoy the urban setting. But it's mixed so far, but I think pushing toward the young professionals.
Young professionals.
So which is no surprise if you look at the statistics about what young, where young professionals want to live. The millennials want cities, and we, I think, are providing the components which are becoming more and more attractive downtown.
Yeah, some of my research has also shown that the millennials really don't want to own things, like own cars, own, you know, properties that require them to do the maintenance and all that kind of stuff that sort of my era moved out to the suburbs to do. So the education obviously is extremely important. We're attracting the right group, and as they start to have families, wow, we're you're putting all the pieces together.
Well, and one of the things we hear from a number of the companies that have already come to join us in Allentown, and a number of those that we've talked to or are talking to, is the whole concept of attracting and retaining the next generation of qualified workers.
Mm-hmm.
When I grew up and got out of college, I wanted to, you know, have the house in the suburbs and do all of those things as we're just talking about. And the three of us here are of a generation that certainly remembers that. But that's changing, not for everyone. But it's changing for a dramatic number of young professionals who are driven to the interconnectedness of cities.
Well, one of the things, and I'm probably treading on thin ice here, so I apologize in advance, but there are a couple of amenities that we don't have yet downtown that if you're in a walking community, one is grocery store. You know, another might be, you know, some of the drug stores and all that kind of stuff. Are those things that you're looking at as well?
Yes and yes. Okay. We are, we've been focusing on a full service pharmacy for quite a while. Don't have anything to announce tonight.
Okay.
But I think that's something that we're going to be achieving shortly downtown, and it's needed. In our 5-city center plan, which is the innovation block that we're working on with the Gensler Company. And that's a very exciting program. One of the top designer architectural firms in the world, really.
I read that and I thought, wow,
this goes to another level.
Yeah.
But one of the targets we have in the first floor of our proposed residential building at the corner of 8th and Hamilton is an urban grocer. Now,
okay.
That building won't be built for 24 months or so, or maybe a little longer, so we don't have that completely buttoned up yet, but it's a significant focus of what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
It's necessary.
And I've been reading that Lowe's and is it Home Depot are starting to put in urban stores, not going with their big box. So, you know, that may be something down the road, too.
I think there are a number of retailers that do that. I know Target has that kind of format, too, that they've put in some urban centers. And back to the grocery store question for a moment, there is one that I forget if they just did open or just about to at 7th and Liberty in Allentown.
Oh, okay.
Supremo, a Hispanic themed grocery store, but that's, if you're a slightly ambitious walker, that's walking distance
from
apartments.
And
they are open.
I thought they had, yeah.
Yeah. Good. So, and so as you, Don and Dackney, get some of the ideas as to what is still needed and voiced as far as priorities, then, you know, firms like City Center or whomever can start looking for the types of services to be provided in a local community.
Yeah, and certainly there's some work to be done just on ratcheting up home ownership in Center City, and we're more than working on that. We just launched a Live Near Your Work initiative where we're now up to 14 participating companies in that,
okay,
where they're offering up to $10,000 grants to their employees to buy a house within, you know, a large swath of Center City, Allentown, and if they live in the house for 5 years,
they don't have to pay back.
It's a grant.
Wow.
And that has exceeded, it's off to a fast start.
Is it?
There are 27 people signed up for that program after just a month of operation. So there are 27 people out looking for houses in downtown Allentown. But there's a lot of work to be done there. There needs to be, the supply side needs to get better. We need to find ways to encourage more people to rehab houses and get them on the market.
Sure. Wow, that's great, because I know the Neighborhood Housing Group was on the show and they were talking. They had just introduced that program.
They're administering it, yeah.
At that point.
And it fits right in with apartment. I totally agree with what Jim said, that a lot of younger people just aren't ready to own a house in their 20s. They want to be renters first. But if we get people renting and living downtown and they decide they really like the location, then they become candidates to buy a house a few years down the road.
Is there anything else, Jim, in your sort of initial plan when you got together 4 years ago and you were thinking about how do we build this and create this environment? Are there any missing pieces yet that still have to come together, or is everything pretty well addressed and now it's just looking at developing the community surrounding?
You hit on two of the most important ones, which are the grocery and the pharmacy, which we're working on diligently. The balance of what we looked at, we've accomplished from the standpoint of office employment, diverse office employment. We have bankers and lawyers and accountants and technology companies and a diverse employment base. We're developing and have done a very good job thus far of the retail base, but that can always be broadened and worked on more aggressively. And I think as time passes, people will see the benefits of being downtown from a retail perspective. The residential side is critically important, and it's it all folds together, because as you look at long-term occupancy of owner-occupied homes in Allentown, you also need to look at the schools, you need to look at the infrastructure, you need to look at the retail and business infrastructure and all of the other pieces that fit together to create a sustainable city.
Now, with LVHN downtown, is the closest hospital, their 17th, the medical facility that, or St. Luke's, or, because that's also a downtown
well,
need.
There's Sacred Heart.
Yeah.
Depends which
Sacred
end of
Heart.
Downtown you're in.
Yeah.
If you're in the eastern end of downtown,
okay,
Sacred
so
Heart's
that's the
closest.
Yeah, that was the other thing I was thinking, which way do you go? Okay. Interesting.
And they've announced an exciting new project that they're working with Penrose Partners, who've done a lot of previous work in Allentown, and they're going to do some additional elderly housing on Fifth Street, basically in the block between Sacred Heart Hospital and the Morning Call, which it's a nice housing project, but it's also really going to do a lot to improve their Sacred Heart's physical link to downtown. So that's an important project as well.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, with all the other amenities down there and having that stuff close by, any age really can live downtown now and partake in the activities or just even sit and watch all the activity happening, all the energy.
And they do now. There's things there people forget about, but Penrose owns the 10-story building right at Center Square, like sort of in between Strata and Center Square, and that's been elderly high-rise for years.
Well, listeners, we're going to take another short break. We'll talk more with our guests, Jim Harbaugh, Vice President of Sales and Leasing at City Center, and Don Bernhard, Director of Community Development for Downtown Allentown Community Development Initiative. After this short break, this is Sally Hanlon for Lehigh Valley Discourse.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Folk music. From the Gaelic traditions of the British Isles to bluegrass and old-time music of Appalachia to the modern-day singer-songwriters telling the story of today's world, you'll find it all on WDIY. listen, and enjoy the wide variety of folk music every weekday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. here on WDIY, Lehigh Valley Community Public Radio.
This is Sally Hanlon, your host this evening on Lehigh Valley Discourse with my guest, Jim Harbaugh of City Center and Don Bernhardt of DACNY. And you have to stay tuned to understand what that is. So another acronym for the Lehigh Valley. We're talking about economic development, which a lot of has occurred through the efforts of City Center. We're talking about community development, which is taking what we've been able to be successful with and turning that into success for the community as a whole, especially that community surrounding the development. Don, you've been involved in community development for a long time. My research says there's like five major components to community development, and resources, organization, programs, network, political, all these things coming together in what DACNY, which is the, let me get that right, it's the Downtown Allentown Community Development Initiative.
Right, I would say two things about that. One is that they bring one piece of the resources, that it's a private sector initiative. It's the heads of companies and it's the head of the private foundations downtown, Trexler Pool, Century Fund, and actually the money that DACNY has raised to fund some small things is run by the Lehigh Valley Community Foundation.
I saw that in the website. I was amazed to see that. That's great.
So they do a couple of things. They bring a private sector focus and private sector resources to supplement the nonprofit and the public resources being devoted to these problems. But another thing it does is they hired me in a part-time, allegedly part-time, semi-retirement job to help coordinate things, to make sure people are working together. So I'm co-chair of the Neighborhood Partnership Steering Committee and meet often with a lot of the other players downtown just to make sure that everybody's talking to everybody else and that things are being done in as efficient a way as possible.
And cooperation exists, you're seeing, because that was a hard thing for many years. Everybody was going in their own direction.
Yeah, it does. It's never perfect. I mentioned before that everybody's aligned behind a plan that the city mm-hmm. developed. We've agreed. There's a page-long list of metrics like impacting the neighborhood economy, unemployment rates, poverty levels, education levels, engagement levels. I said, well, these are the things that we're going to use to measure success, and everybody's agreed to that. So, yeah, cooperation's never perfect, but I'd say it's been really very good.
Most of the oars are going in the same direction.
Yeah.
Yeah. Terrific. Political, and what they said when I did my research was sort of the advocacy for the area to make sure that things are happening correctly, that things don't happen just because somebody has a blanket idea.
Yeah, and that's a good, I mean, advocacy, purely political advocacy. One of the partners, CACLV, I mean, that's one of the things they do. That's their business.
Very well. Yes, they do.
Right. They're really good at it, and have done it for a long time, and my organization, on the other hand, is expressly not that, but
right.
That means, you know, we'll rely on a partner to do what needs to be done there.
So of all of these five pieces, there seems to be like a sort of an expert or an expertise in each of the areas, with the resources maybe being dominantly DACNY and political being CACLV, Community Action. The network is all the other institutions that come together with that committee that you're talking about. Programs, I mean, we talked about a housing program. There's another program that was just introduced, this initiative to help neighborhoods outside Allentown.
Yeah, and that's the Neighborhood Partnership Program.
Oh, that's the one with
before.
The, okay.
It exists elsewhere. It's not unique to Allentown. In fact, there's more than one of these programs in Allentown, in different neighborhoods.
Oh,
in
I
Allentown.
Didn't realize that. Okay.
And it's a state tax credit program that companies that make donations through this, and the mechanics of it are a neighborhood and an organization that's working with the neighborhood has to submit an application to the state saying, here's what we envision doing to improve this neighborhood, and then the state either approves it or not. And once they approve it, then companies can make donations to fund that plan, but they get an 80% state tax credit for in return for their donation.
That's the nonprofit tax credit that a lot of the organizations go after with corporations, correct?
Correct.
EB?
It's different than the Education Improvement Tax Credit.
Oh, okay.
It's the mechanics of it are different. In that case, the companies go after the tax credits directly. In this case, the neighborhood essentially gets them
directly.
And then companies decide, well, we're interested in funding this and getting the tax credit or we're not.
Okay, so this initial $550,000 that was in the headlines, does that go towards the folks buying houses? Does that go towards neighborhood improvement? Can it go towards anything common space?
It does not go to the people buying houses.
That's
strictly
separate.
Private funding for my group's members.
Okay.
It goes to, well, first of all, the neighborhood residents and the committee that I'm co-chair of with a neighborhood resident, Rebecca Torres. That group decides what the money's going to get spent on, and here's some of the highlights of the biggest line item in their budget is facade improvements, just to physically make the neighborhood look better, and that usually takes the form of a $10,000 grant to somebody who's going to do something to their property. About $280,000 of the budget is going to that. And then there's also money going to expanded police bicycle patrols, which has a real nice community component to it, getting police more engaged in community policing approaches. There's some training programs. There's a really nice program that actually city staff conceived of, but there was a feeling that there was a need to train neighborhood residents better to be more qualified to work in the hospitality industry that's really grown downtown.
Okay.
So they just completed their first class of, I believe, 12 people were in this class. And then starting in the fall, there'll be another class of that, but there'll also be classes in the high schools that they'll be training high school students just at a really high-level basic way on what's involved with working in a restaurant or a hotel.
Okay. Is that happening through the Workforce Investment Board, or is that
it
a
is.
Separate?
It is. They're involved in that, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And there's other pieces to their budget. There's an arts and culture plan being developed. I mean, one of the unique assets that downtown Allentown always had were the arts institutions.
Absolutely.
So now there's work being done. It's like, okay, how can we build on that? How can we get those institutions out into the neighborhood and make arts part of education for neighborhood residents? So that plan's still in its early stages of being researched and put together, but that's part of the budget as well.
Okay, so it's a multifaceted again, and how is a neighborhood defined? Is it a concentration of number of people? Is it a geographic? It's five blocks by four blocks. How do they define the neighborhoods?
Yeah, for the Neighborhood Partnership Program, when they applied for the grant, they had to define it pretty precisely, and it's a large and I don't have it exactly in my head, but it's center city Allentown broadly defined from like Walnut Street all the way north to Tillman and 12th Street and 4th Street are roughly the boundaries.
Okay, so that could really cover a lot of diverse interests and what expectations as far as what the program could be used for.
It does. I mean, the circumstances and needs are a little bit different from one corner of that neighborhood to the other. I mean, there's the old Allentown Historic District within that, and that's a little different than areas, say, south of Hamilton Street. But there's a lot of commonality as well.
This is just so exciting. You know, I lived in Allentown for 20, 25 years, 26 years, and then I moved to the townships. I need to come back.
Well, we have an apartment with your name.
I had to talk my husband into it. I don't know about that. But at some point, I think a lot of people are going to be looking at downtown Allentown and what has happened in just such a short period of time, and I'm sure the momentum is going to carry for a while. I mean, you said this next building, 5, is probably, 3 to 5 years maybe?
Well, the current plans have us breaking ground in the spring.
This spring?
Potentially.
Wow.
Again, it depends on our pre-leasing efforts, which are critically important to do this. And then building the building will take a couple years. So we're really looking at delivering the building in early 18.
Okay.
But that's a preliminary schedule and dependent on leasing and financing and construction scheduling and permitting and all the things that go into building buildings like this. It's a very complex build. It's also unique in that in the center of it is almost a 2-acre public park area. Green space featuring a number of different uses, and it's really an exciting component to this.
Wow.
Sitting between a major employment building and a major residential building will be this green space. And it's so critically important in urban settings to have soft, nice places for people to recreate and enjoy themselves.
Well, and the what you're bringing to the sort of the architectural changes that are happening in Allentown are just incredible. I mean, it's, you know, we're becoming leaders instead of, you know, followers. And, I mean, one of the things that impressed me, and I was just blown away, but was Shula's Outdoor Bar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're bringing really unique concepts to the Lehigh Valley, and it's wonderful.
Well, it's a city. It's the third largest one in our Commonwealth, and it deserves to be developed in a very thoughtful and progressive way.
Mm-hmm. Are you finding, Jim, now since you're the Vice President of Sales and Leasing, that when you say you're calling from City Center, Allentown, or Lehigh Valley, that there's a recognition now that maybe there wasn't 3 years ago when you're looking for tenants?
I don't think there's any doubt with the coverage that we've gotten and Fortune magazine is one of the 5 up-and-coming downtowns in the country. The Wall Street Journal, the ULI Urban Land Institute awarded Allentown one of their 6 major urban development awards this year.
Oh, I didn't realize it. Congratulations.
Well, it was actually, thank you. We'll take all the congratulations we can get. But it was really for the arena block, the million-square-foot multi-use block, part of which we own, but was developed by ANISDA in the core of that is the arena, the PPL Center. So mm-hmm. That was really an exciting national recognition of what's happening in Allentown.
And it's certainly getting noticed in the economic development universe. For instance, Federal Reserve Board had a conference in June on equitable economic development, and you know they asked us to speak there and using Allentown as an example. So word's definitely spreading. People are noticing that there's some pretty astonishing success in this downtown.
Happening very quickly. Don, I want to go into your crystal ball a little bit and to say, now Jim says, by 2018, there may be this number 5, very different concept. What do you see happening in your area of involvement in the next 3 to 5 years as far as what do you see happening? More of the same? Do you think we'll be having impact on the school systems?
Well, first of all, yes, I do see more of the same. I mean, the NIS is a powerful tool and success breeds success. I expect to see a lot more employment downtown and different employment. You know, we can't go back to what we were. Allentown will never be the retail center for the Lehigh Valley. It won't be a banking center again, but it can be a diverse office employment center. Retail can continue to grow. Certainly residential can continue to grow downtown, and I certainly see that ratcheting up. That does, in a way, recreate the effect of the old downtown, that there are a lot of people walk to work at a bank
absolutely,
or at Hess's,
yes.
And I absolutely see that coming back.
Yeah, I love to see it at lunchtime, the feet on the street. I remember what it used to be like. You couldn't even walk down Hamilton Street without going into the the street itself, and now that's coming back. The people are out there at lunchtime doing things. It's wonderful. For our listeners, there are a lot of things happening, and I'm sure many of you will hear about PPL Center and all of the events, and that in itself, I mean, just the switches they do there from rodeos to ice rinks to is just incredible, to concerts. But if you're interested in being outdoors, I mean, a lot of the restaurants have outdoor seating now, and there's a concert series that goes on every Friday night now through, I think, September 17th or 18th or somewhere thereabout. You can get a copy of the schedule. But really great performers, and it's free. Just go and sit,
and also
listen.
Thursdays at noon on PPL Plaza, there's lunchtime concerts. So and I think those kind of things are important. There has to be a diverse set of events, different things appeal to different people, and that takes some work, but that's ongoing too.
And there's a farmer's market as well. Is there, I think 7th Street Corridor has something going on with Rodale, as I read. I mean, you can certainly find out more about it. But and at the PPL Plaza, they're looking to do some kind
of
farmer's
market as
well.
They have done that, and I don't know the exact details of that, but that's something that's been done in past years, yeah.
Yeah. So as we get close to the bewitching hour here for the show, what are the thoughts, what are the comments that you would like to have resonate with those that are listening tonight about what's been happening and what's going to be happening in our Queen City in downtown Allentown, but as well as maybe the impact Lehigh Valley-wide? Any words, thoughts that you want to make sure that everybody carries as they help promote what's going on?
Well, I'm always fond of reminding people that the success of the downtown is critical to the success of the whole region. There's no such thing as a successful region with a failed center city, and we've got to make this work. And it's off to a really rousing start. I mean, for me, probably the biggest symbol of that was on the night of the Eagles concert. The concert was great, but for me, the neatest part of that night was to see the throngs of people just walking around and saying, "Wow, this is downtown Allentown, and it's great, and I'll be back."
Yeah. Jim, any thoughts for you?
Well, from my perspective, the way I look at what has happened in Allentown and what will continue to happen is that it's accretive to what's going on in the Valley. It's something different. Mm-hmm. It's something new. It's additive, it doesn't take away from anything. It's a different environment completely in some senses. And some people still want to be in the suburbs. Some people are anchored in Bethlehem. What's going on in Easton is phenomenal. But what's going on in Allentown is special too. And I think it takes the Valley itself to a different level. Having now a more vibrant urban core, it attracts different and diverse people to a new environment.
And it also becomes a tremendous opportunity for other people as Discover Lehigh Valley brings in folks to Lehigh Valley. We've got three different major cities that have three different approaches to retail, restaurants, whatever. And so we have a very unique collective presence to offer those that come to the Valley.
Yeah, and thank you for making that point, Jim, because that's an important point. It's not a zero-sum game. It really does, you know, all the efforts of all the cities, it builds the economy of the entire region.
Yeah, and I think our tourism has been up, but I think places like the Renaissance, you know, that bring in the business executives to come in, and that's where they'll stay downtown now versus out in some other location, have been very helpful in really promoting what's going on. And thank you. I mean, this is just so exciting. I can't tell you, having been a downtown person for so long, going down and walking down that street and feeling the energy that has come back. And it's just a great experience to have. And, you know, you guys are continuing that and keep it sustainable for us so that we can look forward to it in the future.
Well, we don't have any quit in us.
That's good. That's good. Listeners, we're about ready to wrap up tonight's show. I hope that you take some of the information that you've learned and you spread it among others that haven't heard about what's happening or perhaps are not as positive as you might be, share it, let this come out, because the perceptions are extremely important, and we as a valley, as Don has said, need to have success throughout the region with our economic development, our community development, everything that we're doing to make the valley viable. So that'll wrap up tonight's show. I want to thank you all for listening tonight. I want to thank my guests, Jim Harbor and Don Bernhardt, for taking the extra time tonight to be a part of this. We will be leaving the community economic development efforts now. My last show was on that. This show is on that. We'll be going to some other things in the near future. But let me say thank you so much for listening. That wraps up tonight. And this is Sally Hanley, your host for Lehigh Valley Discourse on WDIY 88.1 FM. Have a good evening.